Every Sunday morning, we light the Christ candle. It reminds us that the Spirit of Christ is within us, between us, and all around us. So I light this Christ candle in the name of Jesus. For his birth, herald a new way, God with us. And Herod's reign supreme. Light of the world, Spirit's breath, Christ's presence, come and shine.
Thank you.
invite you to pray in whatever way is comfortable for you. This has probably been a very busy day of preparation for many, and we have the chance now to sit in the stillness. And I pray, blessed Creator God, what was on your heart came to birth through the body and spirit of Mary. Loving God, your light outshines the sun and came upon us, illuminating the wisdom of light. Holy Maker, as Jesus was made in the image of humanness so that we might share in the image of holiness. Breathing as your very own, so that we too might live with hope, in peace with one another, so that joy may be in our hearts, and love our way of life. Amen. For the people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in pitch dark, light has dawned. A child was born to us, a son given to us. And authority will be on his shoulders. And he will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Every night I like to take a ride.
took place when Mary, his mother, was engaged to Joseph before they were married. She became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man because he did not want to humiliate her. He decided to call off their engagement quietly. As he was thinking about this, an angel from the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because the child she carries is conceived by the Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you shall call him Jesus, because he will be the people's salvation." Now all of this took place so that what the Lord had spoken through the prophet would be fulfilled. "Look, a young girl will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, God with us."
Truth is, Christmas overwhelms me. It's not surprising,
Grocery shopping overwhelms me. I can't get used to the fact that the moment that I have the largest number of choices is when I'm standing in the ketchup aisle. Of course, Christmas is for children. I'm a child, childish enough to think it should be for me too. And I search for ways to feel some excitement about the holiday that I did when I was young. One place I still get the Christmassy feeling is at our church pageant. I love the story of the first Christmas. This year, my 9-year-old Becky is hoping to be a page of one of the wise men. Getting to a page usually means putting in many, many years in the angel court. Arms falling off as you endlessly hold an invisible trumpet. Tinsel halo scratching a permanent impression into your forehead. Every girl wants to play Mary, and every boy wants to be a guard in Herod's court. Guards get to have real swords, way cooler than the staffs that they used as swords when they were shepherds. Last year, I was asked to be on the makeup crew. "We think you're wonderful at makeup," they told me, which was very flattering. Until I found out that I was in charge of making people look older. Every Christmas pageant, there is one shepherd wearing socks, another playing with Game Boy. See how out of date this is? Playing with Game Boy. Last year, a backdrop fell on the angels during Silent Night, and it all reminds me that imperfection can be charming. A thought I cling to as the holidays get closer. Round about the middle of December, I hear good King Wenceslas last looked out and think, sure, while the good queen was wrapping gifts and ordering Christmas dinner. I long for one thing that made the Christmases of my youth so perfect. My mother did everything. I'd like to think that my father helped, but men are not always good at special occasions. Every time as I watched, the three wise men laid gold, frankincense, and myrrh at the feet of the newborn Jesus. I hope the three wise women will arrive shortly with diapers and a car seat. I wonder what it is about hearing the story each year that makes my Christmas. The rest of our celebration isn't traditionally Christian. Having latkes with Cheryl and Sarah next door is as much a part of our holiday as lighting the Advent candles. I do believe that we can still find meaning in traditional stories. I tell my children that the story of Noah is about having too many pets that can lead to disaster. They're not buying it. I also think that something that has lasted so long must be wise. And I'm hoping that my kids will remember that as I grow, I hope the kids will remember that as I grow older, possibly, I emphasize with the heroine, Mary, she makes a long, difficult trip to her husband's relative's place. She puts up with uncomfortable sleeping arrangements and other people's animals. Unexpected visitors drop in. None of them bring food. And she doesn't get anything she can really use. In the middle of all this, Mary is always smiling. Why? Because it's a story, of course. Recalling the story of the first Christmas is for me what the moment of silence on Remembrance Day should have been many years ago. An opportunity to pause and to reflect on a world filled with trial, perseverance, hope, and the possibility of finding peace in the midst of chaos. No wonder it makes my Christmas. It is the story of my life. In those days, Caesar Augustus declared that everyone throughout the empire should be enrolled in tax lists. The first enrollment occurred when Quirinius governed Syria. Everyone went to their own cities to be enrolled. And since Joseph belonged to the city of David, and his family line was there, he went up from the city of Nazareth in Galilee to David's city called Bethlehem in Judea. He went to be enrolled with Mary, who was promised him in marriage, and who was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for Mary to have her baby. She gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in a snuggly, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the guest room.
Hearts of all people, both near and far, Christmas.
Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in the territory of Judea, during the reign of King Herod. Magi came from the east to Jerusalem, and they asked, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and have come to honor him." When King Herod heard this, he was troubled, and everyone in Jerusalem was troubled with him. He gathered all the chief priests and legal experts, and he asked them where the Christ was to be born. They said, "To Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what the prophet wrote, 'Bethlehem, land of Judah, by no means are you least among the rulers of Judah, because from you will come one who governs, who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Herod secretly called for the Magi and found out from them when the star had first appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search carefully for the child. When you have found him, report to me, so that I may go and honor him." When they heard the king, they went, and look, the star they had seen in the sky went ahead of them until it stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with Mary's mother. Falling to their knees, they honored him. They opened their treasure and gave them presents, gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Because they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they went back to their own country by another route.
But I still remember Alabaster.
how I first met him. My parents always put our Christmas tree near my room. I could see it through the doorway. When everyone thought I was asleep, I would lie in bed and stare at the light and count all the shining balls. I would watch the colors glimmer in the icicles. And I know this sounds a little funny, but I would talk to the angel. High atop a tree, he sat. He has feathery light wings. And a golden halo. I knew he wasn't real. Well, at least I thought he wasn't real. But he looked so friendly with those red, chubby cheeks and bright eyes. He looked young. Maybe that's why I talked to him. All my brothers and sisters were older than me. He was the only one in the house my age. So I talked to him, and I named him Alabaster. I asked him questions about being an angel. Do angels have to go to bed early? Do your wings keep you warm? Do you ever get tired sitting on the tree? He never spoke, but that didn't keep me from asking. One night, when I was in that in-between place between being asleep and awake, I asked one more question. What was it like to see Bethlehem? And that must have been the right question, because suddenly Alabaster was standing beside my bed. It was wonderful. His face was round, his eyes were bright, his golden halo and white feathers just glowed and sparkled. He talked to me like I was an old friend. And when he spoke, he sounded like he was missing his two front teeth. And so he would say, it was a great night. We went to the shepherds because they were awake. They were, I can't even read that. I don't read lisp very well. What would you say, Jim? Oh, okay. Oh, I know what it is. Okay. They thought we were stars. But that night they knew something special was in the air. I'm getting it. Don't worry. He giggled with a giggle that made me giggle too. By now I was sitting on the edge of my bed. What did you do? We just sang. We just sang. You want to hear it? Yeah, I said. And from that little angel came the most beautiful music. He put back his head and he filled our house with a melody only heaven had heard and only heaven could make. He sang and sang like God himself was listening. And I put my head on my pillow and listened till I opened my eyes and the sun was up and it was Christmas morning. Get up! It was my dad shaking me. Come and see your present. Now, what kid needs their dad to wake them up on Christmas? That is a part of the story I just don't believe. We used to lie in our bed and yell, Mom, is it time to get up yet? And the answer came back, No! Go back to sleep. How many have that in their house? Come on, tell the truth. Yeah. Anyway, this little boy had to be woken up. He was listening to the angel all night. Come and see your present. I jumped out of bed. I ran to the tree. There was everything I asked for. Skates, a baseball glove, a train. I was so excited. I forgot about Alabaster and his song. Soon, all the presents were open. And we all sat around, talking and laughing, and looking at all the new stuff. That's when I heard the song again, Alabaster's song, and the room was full of it. I looked up, and there was little Alabaster on the tree with his head back and his mouth open, and he was singing. Just like he had the night before, I looked around at my family, but no one else was looking at the angel. They were talking like nothing had happened. Do you hear the singing? I asked my dad. No. Do you, Mom? No, she answered. No one else heard him, but I heard him, as clear as if I were on the tree next to him. His head was turned towards the window, and he was singing to Jesus like he had done the first night in Bethlehem. The next Christmas, when I was 7, I heard him again. And the next, he would stop by my bed at Christmas. On Christmas Eve, and he would sing. And from the top of the tree on Christmas morning, he would sing to Jesus. Every year I saw him, and every year I heard him, and then I got older. I forgot to look for him. I forgot to listen for him. And after a few Christmases, I didn't hear him anymore. I forgot about the song till today. Today is Christmas, and this morning as we open presents, I noticed that my little boy was looking at the angel on the tree, and after a moment, he turned to me and said, "Do you hear the song, Daddy?" And he did. Amen. In the end. Now receive our Christmas offering. more as I pray. I don't like closing my eyes so much. And so, I just want to read a blessing. For the person who wrote the blessing started off by saying, "Startling God, when we use religion to control you, when we use our faith to serve our vanity, when we choose charity to save ourselves, come to us. In the world exposed strategies of power, break armors of fear. Come and meet us. Come and expose the flimsy glamour of our world. Come, give us courage to be ourselves. Meet us and set us free. On the hillsides, hope was heard singing unexpected alleluia. In a Bethlehem backwater, hope hovered, love was born. And now, as the wise journey and the powerful start to pace the floor, we go out into the world in peace. The light of the world is here. The job now is to keep it burning. May God bless all our effort. And may you have a silent night and a holy night."